Hello, and welcome to the Legal Marketing 2.0 podcast. I am your host, Guy Alvarez, and today we're going to talk about how to use a simple seven-step framework for developing business. Our guest today is Stuart Hirsch. Stuart is a business development and executive leadership coach, as well as managing director of his company, Strategic Relationships LLC. Stuart is a former firm and in-house lawyers, and he works with lawyers and other professional service providers to help them to develop business. He is also the author and speaker and a senior coach for Trusted Advisor Associates LLC, helping professionals build trust-based relationships. Finally, Stuart works with general counsel and other legal and business leaders in a variety of leadership areas. He was named the top winner in the business development coach category in the 2019 Massachusetts Lawyers Weekly Reader Rankings. Welcome to the show, Stuart.
Well, thank you, Guy. I'm delighted to be here.
We're delighted to have you. So before we dive into the topic, give us a little bit more background on yourself. Obviously, you are a lawyer or a recovering lawyer. And how did you migrate from practicing law to your now business development and executive leadership coaching?
Well, it was interesting. I started as a big firm lawyer, as a litigator in the Boston area, in Boston, and realized I did not want to be a litigator. I moved to a smaller firm, picked up corporate real estate, a little bankruptcy, learned a lot of different things, and then moved to an in-house position, planning to spend the rest of my career in-house in this company and grow. Fortunately, the economy did not track as well as I would have liked, and I was laid off from that company. And there weren't any jobs for lawyers back then, so I started a contract lawyering firm, and that was the first step in my transition. And there was a need for contract lawyers in busy in-house legal departments, but they weren't able to hire. So I started working for a number of very large Fortune 500 companies and a few smaller ones, mostly household names, TJX, Staples, Welch's, and a bunch of others. And I realized somewhere along the way that I liked getting business more than I liked doing work. I was networking constantly. And so what happened was my friends were all asking me, how are you getting all this business? And I gave away my secrets. So actually, I can give those secrets away now if you'd like.
Well, I'm sure our listeners are anxious to learn those secrets. So as you mentioned, you wrote an article for the ABA titled, A Seven-Step Framework for Developing Business. Why don't you walk us through that framework? What does that look like?
Sure. So the seven steps are, first you have to set goals, and then you have to create and implement a plan. And most people know they need to do that. I'd like to take those two together. Most lawyers that I have seen create plans, the plans are often larger to-do lists and or list of goals, aspirational kinds of things that they want to do. So they think that putting down their goals for the year, like attend 2 conferences, speak at 3 events, meet with clients regularly, that that's their plan. And that's actually really part of the goal. So a plan sets out the how they're going to do it and when they will do those things and actually what they'll accomplish. So that's the first two. The third one is setting priorities, and that's about making business development a priority. And that's very important. I know we'll probably talk about that a little more later. The fourth step is persevering. And people tend to assume something isn't working, like when a call isn't returned or an email isn't returned for a few days or a few weeks even. It's just not true. I noted in the article that just because the lawyer needs or wants the work, it's not their prospective prospect or their client's problem. They need you when they need you, and yeah. Not when you want them to need you. But you have to remain available and stay in touch. I've had a one-way conversation with a client that I thought was a former client for about 9 months, and just heard from them earlier this week with apologies about not reaching out and not returning emails and not returning phone calls and a desire to do more together. So there's a time to let go, but most quit too soon. So that's the fourth step. The fifth, sixth, and seventh step I like to take together, and then maybe we can break them down a little bit more fifth step is gaining access to people, and that's really about networking. Mm-hmm. The sixth is recognizing opportunity or opportunities, and that's about listening and how to listen. And the last step is about taking action. So those are the seven steps, and a lot of times people, those last three are the most important, because that's where the rubber meets the road. That's where you're actually being with people and working with people.
I love it. So what has been the reaction so far with your clients? I mean, have you been able to help them to generate more business? And, you know, what are some of the challenges that you've encountered as you help to coach your clients?
Well, you know, yes, I've helped them get business, and you know, and I help people get business by actually getting in the weeds. So a lot of times, the challenges that I hear them face are not knowing what to say and what to do. Mm-hmm. I hear them also. So I would help them, for example, writing their emails or editing their emails so they say the right things. Maybe even scripting conversations. People are hesitant to make calls or send emails because they're not sure what to say. Or they'll send something and not get a response and not know why. I had one the other day. I was working with somebody that sent an email and did not get the response that he wanted and was just going to let it go. But we created another email that was a little more pointed, a little more clear. And basically the client had said something about, you know, having had the work done elsewhere. And the response that we created was, well, I'd love to hear about it. Let's talk. And the answer was, sure. So that's typical. Some of the issues people have are around this, you know, we talked about earlier in the seven steps about setting priorities.
Yeah, tell us more about that. Why is it so important?
Well, it's because lawyers tend to put their own needs last. And one of those needs is business development. So I often ask the lawyer, who's your most important client? So if I'm doing a program, which I do some training programs, I'll say, who's your most important client? The answer always is they might throw out names of clients or categories of clients that are important, but that's never the right answer. The right answer is your most important client is you. And you have to decide who takes priority, who takes precedent in any given situation. Sometimes the client needs to take precedent over yours, but other times your needs have to take precedent as a lawyer. And that includes family, includes exercise, rest, and business development. We can't forget about that. So yeah. I wrote an article about this, like, when should your client take a back seat, that addresses the issue head on. You have to take care of yourself, and business development is one of the things you have to do.
Yeah, it's like, you know, if you want to lose weight, you got to eat well and go to the gym every day. Or if you don't want to have tooth decay, you got to brush your teeth every day, right? So
it takes time.
Yeah.
Everything takes time. Yeah. The other thing is people have two competing client needs. Let's say there's two clients and they both have deposition coming up in a day, and both clients called, and they're concerned, and they both need to talk to you for an hour, and they both want to talk to you at the same time. You have to make the decision as to which person you're going to talk to, because unless you've mastered cloning, you've got to make a decision. And unfortunately, most lawyers never put their own needs into that decision-making process when they have a client that has a need that maybe doesn't have to be done until tomorrow, but a networking meeting or sometimes even a prospective client meeting that could happen today, but they choose to get the work done and they blow off the meeting.
Yeah.
Because the client needs to come first, even when they don't have to. So if you put yourself on the list and you treat yourself as if you're a client, you have a better shot at least not defaulting to the client needs, but thinking about it.
Right. I guess that's what, the advice that I've heard for business owners, you know, is you have to make time to work on your business, not just in your business, right?
It's the same thing. Absolutely.
Same thing. Yeah. So you mentioned networking, and I know that networking is something that a lot of lawyers are somewhat uncomfortable with or don't really know how to approach it. Talk a little bit about, you know, why networking is important and how to approach networking so that it fits within your style or within the way, you know, your personality, but at the same time can yield results.
Yeah. So networking is important because people hire lawyers. It's not companies or organizations that hire lawyers, even though it sometimes seems that way. I do a lot of work with in-house counsel as an executive coach, and I was an in-house counsel, and we always hired, and they still really pay attention to who the person is that they're hiring. They're not just hiring a firm. They want to know who they're working with for the most part. So networking is important because you have to get to know people. And one of the issues around networking is that people feel that networking is selling, and it's just not. And that makes networking stressful. So if people change their attitude, and this is everybody, it's not just lawyers, but lawyers and consultants and accountants, all the professional services tend to think of networking as selling. And if you change that to think of networking as helping, that makes it a better way to look at it, a more productive way to look at it. The lawyer's job is always to help people. Networking is another tool for that. Sometimes you're the right person as a lawyer to help, and that's regardless of whether you're in a big firm or solo. And you know, the buyers of the legal services are people. So I actually wrote an article about this, reduce stress, stop selling, start helping. And originally it was on the Trusted Advisor site, and it's also on my site. Turning clients or contacts into clients is not the goal. The goal is to build relationships, and that's what you need to do when networking.
I love it. And you know very well that the most important factor when it comes to building relationships, whether they're business relationships or personal relationships or any kind of relationships, is to establish that level of trust, right? Mm-hmm. So the more that you help, the more that you give of yourself, I think that helps to establish that trust.
Yes. Yeah. And the more you listen, the more it helps establish the trust. You know, we talked about one of the steps here is recognizing opportunities. And Charlie Green, who authored The Trusted Advisor and with whom I work, he often says that listening gives you the right to give advice. And listening also helps you to recognize real opportunities.
So talk a little bit more about that. What does that mean?
Well, we have to start with an attitude, as I think I mentioned earlier, an attitude of caring and curiosity. And you know, and that's really one of the secrets I was mentioning earlier, which is actually care about people and then let them know that you care. And you have to care about what the person is saying or doing, and you have to be curious about it. So think about, you know, who we know or what we know could be helpful to the person we're talking with. And the only way to do that in networking and the only way to recognize the opportunities to be helpful is to listen and ask questions and get to know about the other person and their needs. So, and we can't do that. You know, we can't learn about those needs unless we're listening very deeply and we're asking questions. So people give hints about their needs all the time, and sometimes they're direct and sometimes they're indirect. Even just staying with lawyers and legal work, purely getting legal work, you know, as I said, people sometimes say things about personal things and sometimes they say things about their business needs, but they don't say very often, I need a lawyer, or do you have a lawyer in your firm who can do? They say that a percentage of the times. A business owner or CEO or CFO may say to you, as a friend or a neighbor even, we're growing quickly. Well, if the answer is that's great or I'm so glad to hear that, then you've missed an opportunity. The most effective thing to do and the most effective thing to do to find out where the opportunities are for you to be helpful is tell me about that, or how are you growing, or I'd love to hear more. Anything that will get the person to talk. And people often just jump to conclusions and make their own conclusions as to what the person might be even thinking or saying. And that causes us to miss the opportunities that are right in front of us. The other thing people do is we always think about what we're going to say next. We all do that. It's human.
Yep. We're not listening.
You're not listening. If you're thinking about what you're going to say next, you're not actually listening. Yep. You're thinking about what you're going to say next.
And how you can make yourself sound smarter or something,
well,
right?
Yes, absolutely. And that does not lead to trust.
Yeah.
Just doesn't lead to trust. Trust happens when you're listening, you're paying attention, you're showing that you care, and you're asking questions. That doesn't mean there won't be opportunities to ask for business. That's probably a whole other podcast. But when you're networking, the networking portion anyway, it's listening, understanding, and learning. And if there's someone who you know who can be helpful, either by doing work or making introductions, then you can offer it up. You can't do that until you've heard what they have to say and asked enough questions.
So one of the things that I've learned as a business owner and as a lawyer when I used to practice is it's always easier to get repeat business from an existing client than it is to get new business from a new client. talk a little bit about that and, you know, how you might help lawyers to, in a sense, cross-sell their services or present opportunities for new business from someone that has already earned your trust.
Yeah, so you've got two different things you're talking about. One is cross-selling, and the other one is how do you get more work from an existing client? And, you know, as I think about this, the most important thing is to stay in touch with your clients mm-hmm. and listen and learn about what they're doing and what their opportunities are. So there's a couple of things to do with existing clients to get more work, and that is to just have conversation. I can't tell you how many times I've recommended to people that they pick up the phone and sometimes send an email or might be the other way around, depending on the person that they're dealing with, or text now. Oftentimes people could just text somebody and make connection. People like being connected to. And I have clients at the level of general counsel of big companies where our communication sometimes is on Facebook. So just staying in touch keeps the door open. The other thing is for cross-marketing, if you're going to cross-market and you want to be able to do that well, you have to really understand what you should be paying attention to or even asking. And mm-hmm. if you want to cross-market other lawyer services, you've got to have conversation with other lawyers in your firm to understand enough about what they do. I like to say enough to be dangerous.
Right.
You actually don't want to actually do what they do because you probably can't. You're not ready.
Right.
And may never be. But you have to understand it enough so you can ask intelligent questions. And maybe even strategize with your colleagues in other practice areas about how to connect with existing clients.
I love that. That's such great advice. A lot of the people that listen to our show are marketing professionals at law firms.
Mm-hmm.
And I know that they struggle sometimes in helping their lawyers become better rainmakers. It's something that, you know, most lawyers don't want to admit in terms of, you know, that they could use a little help. If you were a CMO or a marketing director at a firm, how would you introduce someone like you? Like, what would be the right approach that you think they should use in order to introduce a coach like you that can actually help take things to another level?
Well, first they have to think about whether, I mean, let's take a step back, because in some law firms, especially where there's a CMO and you have a structure of people, they may be doing this internally. And mm-hmm. if they're doing it internally and they're coaching people internally, I think that's great. And many of the lawyers can very much appreciate it if they can relate to the person that is coaching them. And oftentimes, maybe probably most of the time, they can. Oftentimes, people in those roles don't have the time, even though many would like to actually spend the energy coaching. And there's two levels of coaching that they can do. One is this general big picture, help create the business plan, help create the what are we going to do strategically. And then there's the in the weeds, which is what do I say, what do I do, how do I move forward with a particular person. So introducing someone like me externally would be if there are people who have lots of contacts, but they really aren't sure what to do, or they're doing really well and they need to get more organized about it, or they need someone to think out loud with. I mean, one of the things that I think that I've been told that I bring to the table is because I've been in-house and I've been a decision maker on hiring, and because I also work with decision makers as an executive coach, I have another perspective on what is needed, so I can add that and help people in a slightly different way. And there's other coaches out there that have different experiences but probably have similar capability or do have similar capability. So I would say if there are people in the firm that you can't get to, that you know, or can't put the time and energy in for whatever reason, offering up or suggesting that they have a conversation would be helpful. So I would like, I mean, I'm certainly happy to offer to have a conversation at no cost. I do this all the time. It's so much easier to help somebody in real time with a real discrete type of a situation than to tell somebody what I can do for them. So I'm happy for a number of people, maybe 20 or so, if people are listening, to offer to give them some time, like a half an hour for a discrete situation.
That's great. Thank you so much for doing that. And I'm sure many of our listeners will take you up on it. And we'll put your contact information and your
sure.
website and your LinkedIn on the show notes so that people can contact you directly. We have run out of time. I would love to have you back on the show in the future, perhaps to talk about, as you said, how do you ask for business, which I think is a topic that everyone could use help with. But before I let you go, if there was one thing you would say that lawyers could do right now to secure business, what would it be?
Besides reaching out to clients and saying hello. So I'm going to leave that one on the side. That's an obvious one.
Yes, there are besides
two,
that.
There are actually two things, and they go together. And I'm sure that the CMOs and marketing people that are listening to this will agree completely that a lot of people miss this, which is set a next step whenever you're with somebody that's real, and follow up. Those are the two things that people miss. Do what you say you're going to do. Lots of opportunities get missed by failing to follow up.
Yeah, I love
it. So if there's people that you haven't followed up with and you want to do something, do that.
Great, great advice, Stuart. Thank you so much for your time today. It's been a real pleasure having you on the show. For our listeners, if you enjoyed today's episode and you want to make sure you don't miss any future episodes, just go to goodtobesocial.com/podcast. You can subscribe there as well as listen to some of our awesome past episodes. Thank you again, Stuart. And thank you to everyone. We will see you next time.
Thank you.